Our New Testament reading today, our epistle lesson, comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. And I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 10 and 14 through 17. Hear now God's word. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And He died for all, so that those who might live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know Him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. God's word for us this morning. I like to see things clearly. I don't wear my glasses enough, though, but I do like to see things clearly. I typically want to know what's next. What will tomorrow bring? How am I supposed to navigate this path ahead? And the problem is that life doesn't typically work that way, especially not a life of faith. Faith living means trusting in what we cannot see. Trusting that even when I don't know what might happen tomorrow, I know that God will lead me through the challenges that arise. And I know that someday I will see face to face. And it will all be clear. But for now, I have to walk by faith. Yesterday, I had the honor of sharing in the celebration of life for two amazing women of faith, Hannah Maligba Massaquai. She is the sister of Abraham Gulama and Edward Gulama and Sarah Suma. She attended worship here when she was living in New Jersey, but I didn't get the chance to meet her. But I heard about her from her family. You see, Hannah was a woman of faith. Hannah was a woman of faith. Her family explained that no matter what was going on in Hannah's life, and when Hannah was 18, her mother died, and she had the responsibility of caring for her younger siblings. No matter what Hannah was walking through, no matter how many challenges she faced, no matter how many struggles were in her path, she would proclaim, "I am blessed. I am blessed." Even in the last days of her life, when she struggled to put full sentences together, her family would call her. They would say, "Hannah, how are you today?" And one word was what they would get. And the one word was, "Blessed." Hannah was a woman of faith. Phoebean Margaret Lucretia Mesa was mama to many of the people in this church. She was mama and grandmama to many in this faith community. Phoebean lived a life of peace and contentment. No matter what came her way, she was filled with peace and contentment, and her smile spoke volumes about the depth of her faith. Even in the last weeks of life, when she was struggling with pain, she would still sing with me. When Celia and I would come to sing, she would sing. And the joy as she sang her favorite hymns just radiated from her small body. Phoebean would sing, and the one song I remember singing with her, "I have decided to follow Jesus." She would sing that song with fervor. Even though she wasn't feeling well, even though she was in pain, she would sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back." Phoebean was a woman of faith. So often we want to make sense of everything that's going on around us. People continually ask me, they say, "Pastor, if God is good, why do bad things have to happen? If God is so good, why is there evil in our world? If God is good, why do young children have to die? If God is good, why are people destroyed by war and atrocities? If God is loving, why is there so much pain in our world? Why do the innocent suffer? Why won't God intervene and just make it all better? Why?" This is the question I hear over and over again. Why? We're under the assumption that the Bible tells us that if we are good, if we do all the right things, then God will reward us with a good and prosperous life. That if we do all the right things, that God is going to make everything perfect. And brothers and sisters, it doesn't happen this way. And when this idea fails, quickly people have a crisis of faith. What do I do? I've done everything right. Why isn't God giving me the life I think I deserve? Author and United Methodist pastor Adam Hamilton challenges this understanding of Scripture in his book entitled Why. And he explains this. He says, "The sweeping message of the Bible is not a promise that those who believe and do good will not suffer. That is not the promise of the Bible." He says, "Instead, the Bible is largely a book about people who refuse to let go of their faith in the face of suffering." They refuse to let go of their faith in the face of suffering. That's what the story of the Bible is. I mean, consider a few of the major stories of suffering in the Old Testament. There's Joseph, and Joseph, the son of Jacob. He's sold into slavery by his own brothers. And the Israelites, they spend 400 years being oppressed by the Egyptians. And Moses does everything that God tells him to do. He goes and does God's work, and he at times is so miserable, he pleads with God to kill him. And Saul spends years attempting to kill young David, during which the time David writes these beautiful psalms, but psalms of lament and psalms of complaint as well. And the entire epic poem of Job is about a good man who suffers terribly and yet holds on to his faith. And the prophets too, they have their share of complaints against God in the face of their own suffering and the suffering of Israel. And the book of Lamentation, it's written all about suffering after they were exiled and after the destruction of Jerusalem. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're thrown into a fiery furnace, and Daniel into a den of leaves. And throughout the whole story of the Old Testament, we see people who in facing suffering in their life, they hold on to their faith. And they claim with the writer of the 73rd Psalm, "My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart." My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I have made the Lord God my refuge. And we haven't even gotten to the New Testament yet. And the path of suffering that Jesus was called to walk. In our passage this morning from 2 Corinthians, Paul is trying to help the Corinthian church understand that faith walking is not easy. Faith walking is not easy. Walking by faith does not mean that things are going to go our way. Often they go the opposite way. There will be dark nights when it will be hard to see the light. There will be dark nights when it will be hard to see the light. But through Jesus Christ, we have been given a new way of seeing. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see beyond the sorrows of this day. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we are able to see beyond where we stand today. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, we know that God has not only walked where we have, but God has walked through death. God has not only walked where we have, but God has walked through death and has offered each one of us new life. Walking by faith means believing that there will be something better on the other side. Parker Palmer writes on matters of faith and life and how these two things intersect. And in his book, The Active Life, he describes going on an outward bound course. I've never done that. Have any of you ever done that? I don't even know what an outward bound course is, but I'll tell you a little bit about it. So he explains that in his 40s, he took this course. And in the middle of this course that he was taking, he was asked to confront the thing that he had feared the most. He was strapped to this thin strand, as he described it, and a harness was put around him. And then he was backed up to the top of a 110-foot cliff and asked to lean out over God's own emptiness and walk down the face of that cliff 11 stories to the ground. And he says this, "I remember the cliff all too well. It started with a 5-foot drop to a small ledge, and then there was a 10-foot drop to another ledge, and the rest of the way was straight down. So I tried to negotiate the first drop, but my feet instantly went out from under me, and I fell heavily on the first ledge. I don't think you have it yet," the instructor said to me. "You are leaning too close to the rock face. You need to lean much farther back so that your feet will grip the wall." So that advice, he said, went against every one of my instincts. Surely someone, you should hug the wall, not lean away from the wall. But on the second drop, I tried to lean back a little bit further, but not far enough, and I hit the second ledge with a thud, not unlike the first. "You still don't have it," said the ever-observant instructor. "Try again." And since my next try would be the last one, her counsel was not especially comforting. But try I did, and much to my amazement, I found myself slowly moving down the rock wall, step by step, and I made it with growing confidence until about halfway down, when I suddenly realized that I was heading towards a very large hole in the rock, and I did not know where I was going to put my feet, and I didn't know what to do, and so I froze. And the instructor, waiting for a small eternity for me to thaw out, when she realized I was showing no signs of life, she called up to me, "Is anything wrong, Parker?" As if she needed to ask. And to this day, I don't know the source of my childlike voice that came up from within me, but my response is a matter of public record. I said, "I do not want to talk about it." And the instructor yelled back, "I think it's time that you learn the outward bound motto." Wonderful, I thought. I'm about to die, and she is going to give me a pithy saying. But then she spoke words that I have never forgotten. Words so true that they empowered me to negotiate the rest of the cliff without incident. If you can't get out of it, get into it. If you can't get out of it, get into it. Bone deep, I knew there was no way out of the situation except to go deeper into it. And with that knowledge, my feet began to move. If you can't get out of it, get into it. Sisters and brothers, there are so many things in our world that can leave us frozen. There are so many things in our world that can leave us frozen, frozen in fear, frozen in grief, frozen in the unknown of life. Faith is not about having all the answers. If you came here today to get the answers, I am so sorry, I do not have all the answers. Faith is not about having all the answers. Faith is trusting in the one who will walk us through the darkness. Faith is trusting in the one that will walk us through the unknown of life, through the times of grief and sadness. Faith is trusting in a heavenly Father who is willing to step into this world in order to help us to find our way out. One day it will all be clear. One day it will all be clear. But for now, we walk by faith. For we know that we do not walk alone, and that's what I wanted the children to hear today. We walk by faith because we know that we do not walk alone. God has walked and will walk us through, and we are called to walk with one another as well. We walk with one another. That is why this church was filled yesterday. Because our brothers and sisters were walking with the family of Hannah and Phoebe, and they were saying, "We are by your side. We will not leave you alone." The good news, brothers and sisters, is that no matter what you have been walking through today, no matter what has brought you here, no matter how many times you have failed, no matter how many times you have turned your back on God, on your heavenly Father, God will not abandon you. You are not alone. Walking by faith means knowing the one that will walk alongside you. And I want you to hear that again. Walking by faith means knowing the one that will walk beside you. And this is good news. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have called us here today, and you know our hearts, and you know our minds, and you know what each of us have walked through to get here today. You know the darkness and the challenges. You know the struggles, and you also know the joys that have brought us here today. And you remind us over and over again that you have walked here. We have a God that knows what it is like to be human, that knows what it is like to hurt, to struggle. You walked through the pain of this world into the promise and the joy of new life, and you offer that to us over and over again. And for that, Lord, we are so grateful. So help us, Lord, when we struggle to trust. Help us, Lord, when we stumble, when we want to have all the answers. Give us the peace and the knowledge that reminds us again and again that faith means trusting in the one that walks with us. We lift all of this up to you, Lord Jesus, our Savior and our Redeemer. Amen.